God is good. Amen. All the time. It's a blessing to be in the house of God. He is a wonderful God. I give honor to my pastor and Sister Panero and Sister Michaela for their example. I give honor to the legacy that's in this church. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the honor. I don't take this lightly. I have something burning in my spirit. When it burns, it burns. You know it's God. And it's just burning. And I'm excited to share it with you today. This is the greatest hour of the church. This is the greatest hour of the church. It says, the Bible says that these are the things that the angels look into. And there's a lesson there, because the Bible says that, who am I? The Bible says, who am I that you would use me to teach, that to the intent now unto the principalities and powers might be made known the manifold wisdom of God by the church. That's what it says, is by the church. That's you and I. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. God is good. If we can go to the word of the Lord, we're going to go to Malachi. Book of Malachi, starting in chapter 1. The book of Malachi, starting at chapter 1, verse 11. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. If you have it, say amen. Amen. All right, God is good. It says, for from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. What's his name?
Jesus.
And in every place, incense, fragrance, incense, shall be offered unto my name. And a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Then in Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 34. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, it says, blessed is the man that heareth me. It doesn't say heard me or is gonna hear me. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. There's a special unique, when you notice the word, the context here, at my gates, it says watching, hearing, watching, waiting at the posts of my doors, gates and doors. Hallelujah. If you can join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, have your way today, God. Use your vessel today, God, and speak to our hearts and to our minds, God. Confirm your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. God is still speaking today. Amen. The songs we just sang talk about the voice of the Lord that shaketh the darkness, the voice of the Lord that sets the captives free, the voice of the Lord that will bring home the prodigal, the voice of the Lord that will activate your ministry, the voice of the Lord that will strengthen the ministry and the pastor, the voice of the Lord that will bring your child home, the voice of the Lord that will save your marriage, the voice of the Lord that will shake the very foundations of the enemy in this hour. God is good. His voice, he is still speaking today. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, it says, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, it says, And God spake all these words. Wasn't just any other voice. It was an uncommon voice, a voice that thundered. Because if you understand the context there in Exodus chapter 20, I encourage you to read it, because there's some powerful, powerful revelation there. And it says, God spake. He was speaking in the mountain to the children of Israel. It was an uncommon voice that thundered. God spake. It says, Exodus 21, and God spake. God spake directly to the people, directly to the people. And we need nothing more in this hour than to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need to hear your voice, God. There's so many voices in this hour. The voices that say you should do this and that. You should take this career, and you should marry this person, and you should go ahead and go forward with that relationship, or you should intensify your presence on social media because that's how it's done these days. But there is a voice in this hour. There is a voice that still stands strong. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And hearing God's voice is essential. Hallelujah. Hearing God's voice is essential. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, it says, And all the people, now this is God, we saw him in the very first verse of Exodus 20 that God spake. God was speaking not only to Moses, but to the people. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. It was quite the scene, quite the context, quite the circumstance. And when the people saw it, so here we have God speaking directly to the prophet, God speaking to the man of God, but he was also speaking to the people. And they saw the thunderings and the move of God, because the voice of the Lord is upon the many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. And what that means is there's unexpected blessing that's coming our way. Unexpected blessing. And so when the people saw it, there was something that happened to the people. We have a choice. God blessed us with our own decision-making system. God blessed us. And I believe that in many ways, myself included, we got it. We have the context wrong in some circumstances in how we approach God or how we see God. God is a God of thunder and fire, and he will set you free. But he's also a God of mercy. He's a God of strength. He's a God of power and anointing. He's a God of comfort and love. The Bible says that it talks about him being sweet. And so we know he's a God of peace. He's a loving God. Hallelujah. But when the people saw in Exodus 20:18, when the people saw the commotion and the thundering of God's voice, they removed and stood afar off. They removed themselves. And we need God to speak in this hour. How many of you want God to speak into your situation today? How many of you want God? Hallelujah, Jesus. We need God to speak in this hour. We need God to thunder like he's never thundered against the voices of the enemy and against the things and the waves and what's happening in the world, in the circumstances. We are under attack. Our relationships, our families are under attack. If only we can get a glimpse into just how intense the attack is. And we feel it. You feel it. We feel it. We get the phone calls. We get the text messages. We get the conversations with those that are under attack. But when God speaks, it shakes the mountain. It shakes the very foundation of every circumstance and trial and tribulation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Note the location, and if you study the context of Exodus chapter 20, the location is Mount Sinai. Oh, hallelujah. The world will tell you, you got to read this book and do this and do that, and you got to do this and do that to reach what we call peak potential. Hallelujah, Jesus. But in the house of God, anointed and positioned with God, positioned in submission to the man of God, positioned in alignment with kingdom alignment and what the Lord wants for our lives, that's what we call peak potential. It's not a self-help book. It's not a self-help class. It's none of that. It's the presence and power of God. That's what we call peak potential. But in verse 18 in Exodus, here in this verse, verse 20, Exodus 20:19 says, "And they said unto Moses," here they are, the children of Israel, "speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." So they were fearful, they were shaken. But in verse 18, notice that it also, we got to take notice that they removed themselves. Nowhere does it say that the people were told to stand afar off. Nowhere did you see God telling him, okay, you stay over here. I'm going to speak over here, but I want you to remove yourself. Nowhere does it say that. At least I didn't find it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But nowhere does it say that the people were told to stand afar off. The people had an encounter. They heard a voice and had an uncommon opportunity. This is one of the greatest woes of mankind, and in this hour is that of untapped potential, and that is the title of this message today, is untapped potential. My other title is Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And so wasted potential, untapped potential. This is what the enemy is so good at. He's good at taking potential into the grave and potential to just sit there, because the last thing the enemy wants is for you to reach your potential. Untapped potential, wasted potential, sitting dormant, idle, and shallow religion and shallow relationship. Everywhere in the Bible, God gave and gives us his very best so we can live life more abundantly. He gave us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the best of God. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit and fire, is the best of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need the Spirit. We need the voice. We need the voice of God in this hour. Let the deep calleth into deep. How many of you are hungry for that? Hallelujah. How we respond to the voice, one point I'd like to make tonight, how we respond to the voice determines our destiny. So when we take a look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, in verse 8, we see in verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 6, then said I, Isaiah the prophet, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That's what we call maybe a repentant heart. That's what we call maybe a broken and a contrite spirit. That's what we call coming before the Lord in humility. But he says, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was different. Here's the same opportunity presented to the children of Israel, and here's how Isaiah responded. He responds in verse 8. He says in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 6, here am I, send me. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the midst of unsettling times, we too can stand up and say, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 18, it says, and here we have another example. And this is no surprise, right? John the Beloved, right? John there sitting who sat there and was close to Jesus. John was in the spirit and heard a great voice. There it is, a great voice, like thundering, like Moses and Isaiah. John also chose to respond, and when he did, he beheld the glory of the Lord. The Bible says when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet as dead. But Jesus said unto him, fear not. In verse 18, Revelation chapter 1, he says, fear not. But Jesus, that's what he does. He says, fear not. And here he says, don't fear. Here's where he tells the people, don't fear, fear not. I am the first and the last, and I have the keys to the kingdom of hell and death. We have every right to approach God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says, and here's why, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him who paid the price and died for my sins. He broke the wall of partition. The veil was torn, hallelujah, because of what he did at Calvary. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? Not when you're feeling good, not when things are going all swell, but when things are trying and when in time of need, God says, come to the mountain, come to my presence, come and find me. And he says, come boldly. We have boldness and access to come to God and obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. This is the greatest hour of the church, and our greatest need is positioning, like Brother Delgado talked about, positioning. Hallelujah. In the secret place, the closet, we have every right to approach and turn ourselves about, because when you read Moses, so it's no surprise that he was willing to hear the voice of God, because in Exodus, it talks about when he ran into the burning bush, the Bible says that he turned about to see. First, he saw something. There was a shaking. There was a burning bush that was not consumed. And the Bible says that Moses turned himself. He turned himself. He said, I take notice of this. And as soon as he did that, God responded. The angel spoke to him and said, Moses, Moses. And that's what we need in this hour. We have every right to approach and turn ourselves about and turn toward God and respond to God and dwell in his presence to reach our full potential, our peak potential. I don't know about you. Are there any turners in the house? Anybody willing and hungry to turn? Is there anybody willing and hungry to turn and say, Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing in this hour. I want to go where you're going to show up. I refuse to let potential die. I refuse to let my sister die on a couch to addiction. I refuse to let my brother live on the street. I refuse to let my brother live on the street in addiction with no shoes on his feet. I refuse to settle. I refuse to let potential die. Potential in my family, potential in my marriage, potential in my home, potential in my ministry, potential on the job, potential in my home. I refuse. I refuse to let potential die. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need bona fide clingers, worshipers, wrestlers, weepers, preachers, apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers, who refuse to sit on the sidelines. We need turners and not pretenders. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need gatekeepers and doorkeepers. Get this, keep that concept. I pray that seed just digs deep, because it's powerful. It's a revelation that God has given to me, and he's just done it many times. And it's just, we are gatekeepers and doorkeepers. It says, blessed, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. So, hallelujah, Jesus. So, We need gatekeepers and doorkeepers, dwellers in the secret place, in the shelter of the Most High. Men and women who are not satisfied with the status quo. Young people who yearn for the supernatural over the superficial. People hungry for relationship over religion. Those in hot pursuit, seekers of reach and revival. Those who can truly say, like King David of old, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Those with a singular focus and an I must mentality. Those who can say, like King David in Psalms 27, I didn't give this to the team, but it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come unto me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. One thing, that was a one thing mentality. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the presence of Jehovah, one thing that I may seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord in the presence of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. When thou sayest, Lord, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, my heart, not my lips, but my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hallelujah, Jesus. Our greatest need in this hour is not a bigger building. It's not a fundraising campaign or another pulpit, but rather constant contact with God. Constant contact with God. Perpetual habitation. Perpetual habitation. It's real. It's possible. Perpetual habitation. It's possible. It's promised. I want it. I don't know about you. I want perpetual habitation. Hallelujah, Jesus. For our greatest need in this hour, hallelujah, is perpetual habitation. In John chapter 14, verse 23, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, our abode, dwelling place, habitation. That's perpetual habitation. God wants to dwell in the body. God wants to dwell in the temple that he paid the price for. God wants to dwell going beyond just a concept of God, beyond a laundry list and a free lunch mentality, hungering for God and him only, to say, Lord, take your abode. Take your abode in me, God. I'm not my own, Jesus. I'm not my own. A.W. Tozer said, to most people, God is not a reality. He is simply an inference. He is just a deduction that remains personally unknown to most believers. He wrote this in 1950, and millions of Christians today, to them, God is no more real than he is to non-Christians, pagans, or heathens. He is just a concept like a mountain that thundereth, that seems unattainable, unreachable. He's just a concept. He's just a concept. He's not personally known. They have no experiences whatsoever with the Spirit of God. The Pharisees were, get this, the author says, the Pharisees were extremely studious and very dogmatic, but they spent 3 years looking at the light of the world and couldn't see anything. He also wrote, and they weren't very easy to live with, because people who marry themselves to the doctrine and religion and not the deity or Jesus or God are scary. It's hearing the voice of God. A love matter. John chapter 14 and 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keeps my commandments, he it is that loves me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Perpetual habitation, a place where God anoints your soul. God anoints your life. God comes to dwell in your person. God comes to make you a master. That is the purpose of his indwelling in a Christian. The real child of God has to be a master over every other power of darkness in the world. It was to be subject to him. The song we sang tonight talks about, and we too will have the keys. He is to be God's representative in the world. The Holy Ghost in the Christian was to be as powerful as the Holy Ghost was in Christ, in Jesus Christ. And our greatest risk in this hour is not the flesh, the lust of the world, or the pride of life, but rather the loss of direct contact, direct connection to heaven, to the Spirit. We must pray. Lord, teach us to pray. There is no higher virtue in a church than that it should be a praying church. There is no higher virtue in a church than that it should be a praying church. For it is a prayer that makes eternal realities both prominent and dominant. The prayers of God's people set in motion the coming consummation of history. You don't know what prayer will do in your family. You don't know what prayer will do in your home. God listens. He's aware. The prayers of God's people are more potent, more powerful than all the dark and mighty powers let loose in the world. More powerful than anything else is the power of prayer set ablaze by the fire of God and cast upon the earth. Praying souls become prevailing saints. Praying souls become prevailing saints. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. So let's talk about my alternate title, How Lord Teach Us to Pray. How to approach God. How to achieve perpetual habitation. How to approach God. Keys to peak potential, divine communion, and relationship with God. It's not just for the prophet, or it's not just for the man of God, or the pastor, or the ministry team. It's for everybody. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 through 16, it says, we're going to take a glance. It says, if my people, this is how we affect everything around us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, then get this, we stop there, but get this. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. He's not a one and done God. Humility is the key to access to God. Reverence, humility, a willingness to tremble. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Tremble at the presence of the Lord. Approach God with humility. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 12 said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will. It was such a model. So many people live their life in repetition of this prayer without ever knowing the context or the power of the revelation of this verse, of this setting of scripture. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray. And he says, our Father, not just my Father, but our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes on and releases the kingdom. Believe when ye pray. Humility, and then believe when ye pray. For Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many of you are hungry for that? Amen. We can't expect what we inspect. We have to lift our level of expectation when we approach God. We can believe when we pray, because Mark 11, 22 through 24 says, Jesus answering, but be thou removed, that whatsoever, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatever you need in your house today, whatever you need in your home today, whatever you need with your children today, hallelujah. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe. Believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. For if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So what happens when you believe? Luke chapter 1, verses 37 through 45 says, with God, nothing it shall be impossible. And then we have the setting in verse 38 where Mary says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. And we can, for sake of time, we can read those scriptures. And it says, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of her cousin Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass in verse 41 that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice. And here's Elizabeth telling Mary and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And verse 43, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Verse 44, for lo, as soon as I heard your voice, your salutation that sounded in my ears, the baby inside of me leaped in my womb for joy. Oh, notice what happens when they believe, when she believes. And she, here it is. And Elizabeth says, and blessed is she that believed, for thou shalt be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Yeah. So when you believe, the miracle activates, it leaps. Yeah. When you believe, there's a release. Hallelujah, Jesus. What is sitting in your womb tonight? What is sitting in your womb waiting to be birthed? Waiting for you to just believe and release what the Lord is speaking, what is speaking unto you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's what the Lord is saying tonight. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? But believing is not enough. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 29 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Prayer is a conversation, it's communion, an exchange with God. It's relationship and not repetition. Something's powerful when you hear what the Spirit is saying. Give God a chance to speak. That's what I feel in my spirit tonight. Give God a chance to speak, to change your world, to change your marriage and your home. God is always speaking, seeking direction. Whatever you need in your life, just let God speak to you. The Bible says that he made known unto Moses his ways. God will make known his ways unto a hungry soul. We need the Spirit of God not only to make known to us divine things, but to make us take notice of them. Isaiah 50 and 4 says, don't just make known, but awaken me. Awaken my ear to hear in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, it says, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. We should beg of God that whenever he speaks to us, he should awaken us. And we should stir it. We should then stir up ourselves. So here's where I'm going to wrap up tonight. Lord, awaken us to the power and authority of prayer. Yeah. We have the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 19, in Matthew 16, it says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God, if Jesus only wanted the priest or pastor to pray, he would have given the keys to the religious order of the day, but he gave them to a fisherman. We can stand and unlock God's will in the earth. We can pray for rain. We can pray for reach and revival. We can ask the Lord rain in the time of harvest. We have the ability to declare and decree through our prayer. We can speak life into the atmosphere, for it's in Job 22. This is how we're going to finish tonight. In Job chapter 22, verse 28, it says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. You can declare that I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. We not only have the keys, but we are the gate. Yeah. We are the doorway. We are gatekeepers and doorkeepers. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 12 and 16 through 17, we have a setting here. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, and we continue to the next verse, verse 12. It says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Here it is, access, doorkeeper, gatekeeper, doorway between heaven and earth, the place where heaven touches earth. Then in 16 through 17, verse 16, it says, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Verse 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, Bethel. And this is the gate of heaven. Then in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. So there it is, the Spirit moving, descending upon him like a dove. And he heard a voice. In verse 17, he heard a voice that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is the gate. We are the gate. He stood as a link between heaven and earth. It doesn't stop there, because in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Hallelujah. So whatever we need tonight, God is going to change. God has given us the keys to the kingdom. We have every right to stand and come before God and say, "I'm going to unlock this gate. I'm going to open this door. I'm going to declare and I'm going to decree this in my marriage. I'm going to decree the salvation of my wife and kids, my family, my home, my ministry. I'm going to declare and decree." And as we all stand tonight, we're going to do that. We're going to ask. We're going to seek. We're going to knock. We're going to pray for wisdom and recovery and unity and reach and revival for Israel and for our people in this hour, for the church. For in Job 22 through 28, verse 28 of Job 22, there's scripture there. Again, I just remind us that it says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall not be, and it shall be established unto thee." I don't know what you need tonight. I don't know what you want tonight or where you're hungering for, but God has an answer tonight. You can decree it tonight and it shall be established. He sends all of heaven's resources to establish it. I love what Parkway does. They have a decree. They have a decree, and we should find a way to make a decree, not repetition, but a decree, and start speaking into the atmosphere. And so I'm going to pray this, and I'm going to speak this. And I pray that you join me in that same intensity. "Upon the authority of your word, I have given, and it shall be given to me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither. I am a giver to beyond these walls. I bring my tithe and my offering today in your storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked. The curse is broken. I live under an open heaven. You pour out unto me such a blessing that there is not enough room to receive it. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, deeds and titles, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises. Bills paid off, debts demolished, royalties received, my whole family saved and walking with God. Perfect health and abundance to walk in divine favor and blessing. I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. And now all that I do will prosper in Jesus' name." If you believe it, I invite you to come to this altar tonight and decree and declare unto the Lord. These altars are open tonight. Come and decree and declare unto the Lord that "I will move into the mountain." Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we declare and decree. Lord, we've spoken, God. Help us, God. Confirm your word. We're hungry and thirsty for you, God. Speak to our hearts and to our minds tonight, God. To those listening online, God, speak and confirm your word, God. We're hungry, Lord. Now show yourself strong on our behalf, Jesus. Show yourself strong on our behalf, God. Lord, let your word be forever settled in our heart and in our mind. Lord, we need you tonight, God. In Jesus' name.